Hi, this is Andy Olson, and welcome to Arizona Music Showcase, where we shine the spotlight on an Arizona act from the past to the present. And our special guest in the studio today is Phoenix 60s singer-songwriter Frank Ferfera. He had a bunch of 45s out in the early 60s. He played Ladmo's brother on the Wallace and Ladmo show when it was It's Wallace. You were like the teen idol back in the late 50s and early 60s here in Phoenix. I'm looking at some of the pictures, and these girls are swarming over you.
Those were the good old days. Where are they now?
I don't know. You have them pretty captivated. Your material is out for like the first time in ever since it originally came out as 45s. Is that correct?
That's right. When they hit the air on your show, Andy, it'll be the first time Phoenix or Arizona has heard these songs since the early 60s.
Can you give us a little background for our listeners that are not aware of who you are and what you did and when it all started for you here in Phoenix?
Well, it was all around about 1960, 61, in that time period when I got my first start, and it really happened at some of the local high schools at that time, and still now, I guess, you know, they have rallies and things for their big games that are coming up, and my guitar player and myself, Richard Meyer, got invited to go to Sunny Slope, not too far from here. Mm-hmm. Sunny Slope High for one of their big rallies, and we had never appeared publicly prior to that. And we were that avant-garde, I guess, of the early rock and roll. And we went to the rally, and there were some big other entertainers there. Miss America was there, and some famous magician, and a bunch of people, and we were last on the lineup. We were a little apprehensive, to say the least. We only had two guitars and a microphone. But we got up. And I sang a couple of my original songs and a couple from Buddy Holly and Elvis. And when the last note sounded on Richard Meyer's guitar, the bleachers that all these kids and students were sitting on, it was like a volcano. They just erupted and all jumped out of their seats and ran all the way down the gym to the stage where we were at. And we were just couldn't believe it. We were instant heroes. We didn't have any records. We weren't known. We signed autographs until the teachers cleaned out the gym. And then the following day, we got a phone call saying, can we play for the Sunny Slope prom that year? That was our beginning. That was our humble beginning.
And that led to some sort of recording deal? Or?
Yeah, that Jack Curtis, who was quite a local promoter in those days, he said, hey, let's get you into the studio. And that's what happened.
And you had actually probably your biggest song came out of that.
Yes, the first one was definitely the big one in all respects. We had some great music for a number of years, but your first one is always the most exciting. And it was called Only in My Dreams. We recorded it just with three-piece band, Richard Meyer, myself, and Jim Schultz on drums. It turned out very good because we had the help of a great engineer who would later do some wonderful big things in Hollywood. His name is Jack Miller, and it was one of his very first sessions that he conducted as an engineer, and we were just amazed at what he could do with our couple of guitars and a drum. And when the session finished the next morning, they said, hey, this is good enough, we want to put it out now. And they got Al Casey to come in and overdub bass, because that was the one thing that was missing. Well, that was it. It came out on MCI Records, went up to the top 10, and really established myself as a singer in the area.
Only in my dreams. From side to the night.
This is Radio Free Phoenix, and that's Frank Fafara, right? Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah, Fafara.
Fafara.
I mean, it works both ways.
And it's Farah now, right?
Right. I shortened it to Farah because of the great number of times that the announcers and the press people would all have their own variations of the name. So I thought, well, the easy thing to do is just drop off the first two letters, Fa, and just make it Farah. And afterwards, years later, Jack Curtis was telling me a story that one day he was with Mike Condello, and they were talking, and Jack brought up my name, and he said, hey, did you know, by the way, that Frank Fafara drop is now Frank Farah? And then Mike turned to him, and he said, what happened to the Fa? And to this day, people that knew Mike and heard that story bring it up to me, so... But Mike had always come up with a classy little remark when he wanted to.
So Mike Condello, he was sort of with you there in the very beginning. How old was he back then?
You know, I think Mike was only about, maybe this is putting him too old, but I don't think he was any older than 14.
Okay.
When he started. When he first joined Stage 7, Jack Curtis opened Stage 7 in about 1961, and Mike was one of the first... In the early guitar players of the dance place there. And when he came in, I was amazed. You know, he was young and he looked young, but boy, could he play guitar.
What was the... I'm too young to have ever seen it, but the Teen Beat show that was on Channel 5. Who was the host of that?
Well, it actually started out with Bill Thompson Wallace.
Okay.
As the host. And he did it for, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 months. And then Pat McMahon took over as host.
Okay.
And that was quite a little show. It was really a fun thing because it took place on early Saturday evening, and we could tape the show, and we could always choose what songs we wanted to do. I'd sing my records if they were out, and if they weren't, I'd pick some other great song, the hit that I liked to sing, and then we'd move on after we did that taping there. Then we'd move on to Stage 7. At 9 o'clock every Saturday, and that was a great dance, so it was really a full evening.
Any of those tapes still survive?
Unfortunately, no. I asked Wallace about that just a few weeks ago, in fact, and he said they reused every one of them, retaped over every week.
They did that for the Wallace show, too, as I understand it. They're lucky they got anything. Well, back then, everything was just, you know, good for the day, and once it ran through, it was considered to not have any value.
Yeah, that's really sad. A lot of big TV shows. But those shows with Wallace and Ladmo and Pat McMahon and Mike, they were just so spontaneous. I mean, it was like, they even though they taped it sometimes just for convenience, they didn't stop the tape. I mean, it was like a live show on tape.
Yeah.
All of
That is Frank Fafara on Radio Free Phoenix. He was quite the teen star here in the Phoenix area in the early 60s. That was Lovebreaker. It was your second 45 out in like August of 1960.
Yes, it was the second single, and of the two songs, Lovemaker and Miss U D were the combination on that. And unbelievable, I was out in California a couple of years back on walking on the beach there, and I bumped into somebody that had known me from those days, and he remembered that was his favorite song. Lovemaker, Lovebreaker. It's amazing how those things float around.
Yeah, sometimes people can't remember who did it or what the title was.
Right. Yeah.
They don't have their records, or the ex-wife got them, or they threw them away, or whatever.
Of course, the story of these records in itself is amazing, because I had thought that after this many years, my early masters would obviously either be destroyed, lost, or the tape unusable, you know, lost mm-hmm. all its qualities.
So were these from the tapes?
90% of these were from the original recording tapes, which were stored in a vault here in Phoenix. And when they were looking for some Duane Eddy and Sanford Clark masters, they found them. And right in there with all the others, I'm happy to say, were my masters. Then the miracle of digital and computers came into play, because they were able to transform that analog to digital.
Jack Miller, working in conjunction with Johnny D, they seem to really be doing a lot of cool stuff with those old tapes. And as I understand it, Johnny D, John Dixon, has control of all the leftover masters from audio recorders.
Yeah, he inherited a great collection, and I worked with John and Jack both to get everything transferred onto an album of original songs just the way they were. But this album was never available back in the 60s, because everything was just put out on the singles, and we never made an album. So it was really something great to do.
That was probably typical with quite a few of these Phoenix bands, primarily singles only, and maybe they have a hot hit on Chris or Crux, and then there would be the few singles, and they disband or something. Nothing else would come out until years and years later.
Yeah, I was really lucky that I had enough cuts to make an album. I mean, like I said, a lot of the singers had one or two songs or mm-hmm. or vinyl singles out, but I actually had enough to do an album, and it was really exciting to go back in time and touch base with a lot of the people who played on these songs who are still around. One of the guitar players, Bob Nisley, a good friend, he's still in Phoenix, active and doing some things now and then, and the drummer on one of the songs on here, the Golden One, Gilbert Burnell, is still around. And a good guitar player I played all over the state with, Fred Allard, is still active. So it's nice to have some of the friends from those days still with us.
The Golden One shines down on the land. He crushes some before him, leaves the others stand. He sees a tiny rosebud, it's caught there in his gaze. The tiny bud lays dying, the golden one's ablaze for another one. Sometimes I think that you're like the golden one. The way you shine on others and hurt only one. You've got me where you want me. There's nothing I can do. And like the golden, golden one, you melt me down to dew for another one. Thank you.
You're listening to Radio Free Phoenix. Hi, it's Andy Olson with our guest today, Frank Ferreira, Phoenix singer, songwriter from the early 60s. And that is, I guess that was the B-side of your third 45, The Golden One?
No, actually, was that the A-side? Yeah, that was the A-side.
Oh, okay.
That was the A-side. It sort of revived my career at the time. And it was ahead of its time, really, and the song almost never was put out because, you know, back in those days, things were pretty straightforward, sing-songy, standard, straight-ahead love song. Well, if you listen to The Golden One, the lyric is quite different, but the melody and the chords and the drumming and everything was so powerful on it, they decided to go ahead with it, and it turned into my second real big chart record.
As we had talked earlier, the quality on this stuff is pretty nice considering when it was recorded.
Again, Jack Miller pulled that digital. It really got a nice sound on it.
So I was reading up a little bit, and you had guested a number of times on the Wallace and Ladmo show. It was It's Wallace back then, I guess, and you played Ladmo's brother?
Oh, yeah.
With one of the original long Ladmo ties that connected to the shirt, yeah.
That was a lot of fun. Because at the time we did It's Wallace, but also we did a lot of live shows around the valley at the amusement park that was called Legend City. It was a real big amusement park out on Van Buren, out in that area. And shopping malls were the other favorite. So wherever Wallace and Ladmo got invited, I often had the opportunity to go along as a guest singer and with the band and things. So that was a lot of fun and a lot of good memories.
The neat thing about Wallace and Ladmo is the way that the local artists were able to interact on the show and become almost semi-regular characters on it.
They really did. Wallace was a genius at allowing people to reach out and do their thing with slight direction, but always giving them their lead so that they could really do their thing the way they were good.
And you just bumped into him recently? For
yes,
the first time in a long time?
Yes, in several decades, yes. I just, okay. And we were talking about the new album, the Only My Dreams album, and I wanted to share it with him because he was such a big part of my career and appearing on his shows. And my wife and I went over to present him with his own personal copy. And then we talked and reminisced a lot about the shows and shared a lot of those great memories. He's doing fine, by the way, he's for his fans out there, and he's got a great website. There's a nice website up on them, and I think you've got a link on your show.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of a renaissance for him. He probably never thought this would come about, and they had a show a few years ago at the Coliseum.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was I as I understand it, was sort of pushed forward by that fan club.
Yeah, he's certainly got a lot of fans and deserves every one of them.
And I have my very own copy of the Aunt Maud storybook. I was waiting for that, yeah. Who knows, it would come out like, 40 years after the fact or something.
Yeah, I never would have believed we'd be visiting after all these years and everybody goes their own way, but he was certainly a bellwether in the Phoenix area, and it was fun doing music together with them.
Bye.
Rock and roll with a heart and a conscience. Radio Free Phoenix. Hi, it's Andy Olson. We have a special guest, Okay, skip it. I know why you shortened the name.
Now you know.
I know.
You finally know. Everybody.
I'll have it down perfect by next week. But
You know, Wallace told me a story about that. He says once when they were setting up, getting ready to start the show, and one of his directors or somebody came running up, and he says, "Where's Frank Faffera?" and Wadmo pipes up. He says, "His name is Faffera," and he says, "Faffera, Faffera, doesn't matter." And they all just pointed towards my direction. That's why I changed. Shortened my name.
Okay, well, we just heard "I'm So Sorry Now."
You heard and that had the great guitar work of Richard Meyer. Richard Meyer's over in Los Angeles right now, but boy, he had that raw rock and roll feeling on that one, and it really moves along and with no constraints, and it's certainly a hot little number, and I always think of Richard when I hear it.
So tell me about some of these songs on the CD. There's three of them that were never before released.
Yeah, again, a miracle of technology. There were several dubs made, meaning that we went in, did the recording, and an acetate was made, and then put away in a safe or a trunk or in my possession, a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
And when we were putting this together, we needed a couple more songs to fill out the album. And there sat Mr. Echo was one of them. And people think nowadays that it came right out of off of the Lost TV series, but it didn't.
Mr. Echo,
I think of you. Mr. Echo, Mr. Echo, Mr. Echo, bring her voice to me. Mr. Echo says you're mine, and he's right all the time. Mr. Echo knows you care, and it echoes everywhere. Your echo,
I love you.
Your echo,
please be true.
Your echo,
please be mine
all the time.
Freeform rock and roll from all different eras. You're listening to Radio Free Phoenix, and we're talking to Frank Faffera, and that's a song called Mr. Echo. Who are the girls on there?
Oh, the girls, yeah, the interesting background singers. They were daughters of the sort of the studio manager of Audio Recorders. They went by, I believe, the name The Dreams.
Hmm.
I didn't get to know them too well, but they sometimes your background singers, you know, they sort of come in and do the stuff almost after some of the stuff is done, and then they're gone. And but they certainly did a nice job.
What's the story behind "It's Time to Quit Crying"? That was another one of those unreleased things.
We didn't do too many ballads back then, but that was a nice, relaxed song about a poor guy that just feels it. He's lost everything, and he's suffered long enough, and he's going to put it behind him. So it's time to quit crying.
Time to stop sighing. you know how I needed you. But you just couldn't be true. So it's time to quit grieving. It's time for leaving. And it's time
Freeform rock, yes, this is Radio Free Phoenix, and guest star here in the studios, early 60s, Phoenix singer-songwriter Frank Ferfera. So all in all, you had like four singles that were out, and your last one, what was the A-side? I'm Gonna Love You Too, or A Tear Has Taken Your Place?
On this one, the last one was A Tear Has Taken Your Place, and some of these were actually paired with different songs in a different order, and there were several versions, so I had to choose the version that we wanted, but that was the last release, A Tear Has Taken Your Place. In another miracle of today's age, I had a call from England, and the guy called up. He says, "Are you Frank he finally yeah. said something, and I yeah. said, "That's me." Yeah. And he said, "He says, you won't believe it." He says, "But I've got a 45 record with your name on it that has A Tear Has Taken Your Place." And I said, "And this, he's in England calling me." And I said, "How could you possibly have that? We didn't put it out in England." He said, "Well, I was visiting Phoenix back in the 60s, and I went into Bill's Records, Christown. And he said, there I found that one and a couple other records, and it's my favorite song. I've never forgotten it. I still have it. I play it." And things like that are just hard to believe, and just fascinating to me that that can happen.
You never know where you left your mark and how long ago, because something could be so special to one person and that chance meeting or talking to them.
Yeah. It's you run into people now and then, and I'd really like to I'd really like to do, Andy, is maybe somebody listening to your broadcast from one of the high schools. I mean, North, West, South, Carl Hayden, Brophy, Xavier, St. Mary's, all these schools where we played at, and I'd love to do a reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and play some of the Only in My Dreams or the Golden One or some of the 50s stuff that we played at their high schools back then, to do a reunion when their class from 62, 3, or whatever comes up. So maybe somebody's listening that was back then, and they could contact you or something. Let us know.
You see, I already know that I have loved too slow. A tear has taken your place. I know it's hard to say, but don't you worry that way. Has it all been a waste? A tear has taken your place. Why?
now known today as Frank Farah. We have him here in the Radio Free Phoenix studio. He had a bunch of 45s out in the early 60s. He played Ladmo's brother on the Wallace and Ladmo show when it was It's Wallace, black and white, polka dots, real long ties. And what happened after the singing career for you, after you put out these four 45s? Where did it go from there? Were you still playing out for another few years after that, or did you take a different turn?
Well, I kept playing in the area till about 1965. And that's when music changed from the solo rock and roll singers, you know, Elvis, Buddy mm-hmm. Holly, and those, to the Beatles and the groups. And when that came in, I sort of got out of the business for a few years because I guess I just wasn't ready for it. It just, you know, it took the world by storm. And I thought I had to sort of regroup, step back. Uh-huh. And I left Phoenix at that time and went out to California, where I met my present wife, Patty Parker. And she was in music. I had been in music. So we put a band together, and within about 6 months, we were on tour. And we played heavily in the casino circuit, Lake Tahoe, Reno, and all across Nevada. And we ended up going across all Canada. And we were on the road for many years, playing sort of a mix of Americana, some of the early 50s, some country, mm-hmm. sort of everything that I knew and that she knew, and we put our musical heritage together, and that's where I went from here.
So with the release of the CD, you've sort of come full circle.
Yeah, this is putting the foundation back, and I really felt it necessary because we have other projects that are the current things that we're working on, but I've always felt while the people were still here that were involved in this project, like Jack Miller and John mm-hmm. Dixon and people that, and my guitar players, Richard Meyer and Fred Allard, Bob Nisley, people who are still knew the industry back then, I wanted to get this out and lay a foundation from which I felt, okay, now I can really go from here and have my roots covered, so to speak. And it had always been in the back of my mind, it had to be done, like just an obsession almost, that I wanted this project done and to represent what we had done in our early years. And it came out so great. It has a lot of nice, for the folks that aren't sitting here, you know, they can't tell, but we have a lot of, like you said earlier, a lot of nice vintage photos of the early days and the early charts and people from the bands and things on it. And it's a digipack, the type that unfolds, and you can really see a lot of things. So we hope the fans would want to get a copy.
They can go to where to get a copy?
Oh, good question. They stores Zia's Records.
Zia has it.
Are handing them. Also, if they're near Ziggy's guitar and accordion store in the mid-Phoenix, they're carrying them. And if they don't want to go to a store, they can go to cdbaby.com on the web or Apple iTunes. Either one of those, but we hope they do. And
okay, well, you know, we were talking earlier, before we started the interview, you were talking about the magic of the time back then, where it was just sort of wide open before the radio consultants rolled in, told everybody what to do and play. And how would you sum that particular point in time here in Phoenix up as an artist?
Well, I guess halcyon days comes to mind.
Okay.
It was a time when you could come from nowhere and just go in and record a song. If it sounded good, you could take it out to your local radio station. You could sit down and introduce yourself. They'd put it on, and if they got a good reaction, you could be on your way. And there were no guards at the doors. They weren't on the 20th floor, barricaded up there where you couldn't get to them. It was just a very open and hospitable and very warming type atmosphere, which over the years, as you know, and it has slowly got harder and harder and harder and harder for an individual to do anything on their own.
My analogy is hands securely tied behind your back.
Yes. I mean, I don't know how I'd start today. I mean, you know, I mean, it's a very different world. Thank God, though. I think the chance for the independent artist and the new singer today is through the internet, and being able to get their songs on huge websites and like CD Baby and other places like that where people can hear their music and sample it out, and anybody in the whole world can hear it, which has opened up some great opportunities. So I guess it's just a little different door you got to go through nowadays.
Yeah, yeah. The internet has made it possible for an artist to skip the whole record company connection and do it on their own. And with what you can do on your computer now, you can do just about anything. And if they have the wherewithal and they know what they're doing, they can come out with a real quality product on their own. Well, we'd like to thank you for coming here today to Radio Free Phoenix.
Well, it was a real nice visit, Andy, and I heard a lot about what you'd established in Radio Free Phoenix and the good things that have been said about it. And I always had a great. I was wondering, you know, how it came to be, and you shared some of that with me. And now that I've got to visit with you and actually see and be a part of it, it means that much more, and I thank you very much.
We're going to close out with one more song here from you, and this is the closing one on your CD. It's called One Kiss to Remember. Hey, he's all smiles, yes.
I gotta get to